At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Juan Castillo, and this is the Electric Drum. This morning, I have with me Darcy Cobb Lomax. She's executive director of Project Access of New Haven. This is a nonprofit agency that helps patients navigate through, uninsured. They're uninsured, the patients, and they help them with trying to find specialists, and all the care is donated, by these specialists. So this is a wonderful, wonderful program here in New Haven. But we're going to talk about her life. How you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Wonderful.
How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. You were born in Bridgeport.
That's correct.
Right? Tell me about growing up in Bridgeport.
So as you said, I was born and raised in Bridgeport. I grew up in a two-parent home most of my life. My parents did eventually divorce, but had a very good relationship. I was educated in Bridgeport Public Schools. I have good childhood memories. I played basketball in high school. Okay. I danced throughout my childhood, went to church in Bridgeport. It was a community. We did everything right in Bridgeport. My mom worked in Bridgeport. My dad worked nearby. All of my family, it lived in Bridgeport. So it was a nice support system I had growing up there.
So you went to Central, you said, right?
I did.
So you played basketball Central?
I did.
Varsity?
I did.
Good, good. So tell me about that. How did you first get involved with basketball early, I guess, in middle school and things? Mm. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I'm tall, so I think the assumption is when you're 5'11" that you will play basketball. My dad played high school basketball in Bridgeport and at Stratford High School and played a little college basketball. I had an older sister at Central who played basketball as well. Right. And so kind of just following in her footsteps, I joined the basketball team. I was not the worst, was not the best, was not recruited to play college basketball, but did get to college.
Right. And so tell me about that experience in terms of when it was time to go to college, at Central, who was guiding you? Mm-hmm. Where were you thinking about going to school? Talk about that whole experience.
Sure. So my parents were very supportive of me going away to school. My older sister was at Clark Atlanta University. Mm-hmm. So all of the schools I looked at were in the Southeast. That's just the place in the country that I thought I'd like to go live for 4 years. So during the spring of my junior year, my dad took me on a college tour, and all of the schools we went to visit were in the Southeast. So I visited a few HBCUs like Spelman and Clark. Morris Brown was a different university back then than it is mm-hmm. today. And we went to see Florida State, University of Florida, and University of Miami. And I really fell in love with Florida State when we visited. So it was nice to be able to go and see the schools as opposed to just applying from here and not being able to see them. When you have an older sibling in college, money matters when you're the second child where you land. And when the acceptance letter came from Florida State, it came with some scholarship money attached to it. Mm-hmm. So it became kind of a no-brainer that was where I would end up in school. And I enrolled in the fall of 1991 and had a great 4 years there.
Great. This is Juan Castillo. You're listening to The Electric Drum. I'm speaking with Darcy Cobb Lomax. She's executive director of Project Access of New Haven, an agency that helps patients navigate through the health system, especially if they have no money and they're uninsured, and they help them find specialists for whatever ails them. We'll talk more about her program in a little while. Right now, we're talking about her life. We are at the point now where she is getting ready to graduate from Central. She's a Bridgeport native. She went to high school there, played basketball, and we're talking about her getting ready to go into college. Okay, so tell me, prior to, trying to decide what schools to go to, mm-hmm. did you feel what kind of area you wanted to go into as far as college, what you wanted to major in?
Yes and no. So I knew what I was good at. I knew I liked math. Okay. I knew I was organized. I knew I was pretty good with numbers. So I applied to Florida State, I believe, as a math major.
Okay.
My ultimate degree is not in mathematics, okay. but I did apply as a math major there and ultimately changed my major to accounting, which I enjoyed. It wasn't that exciting to me, but I was good at it. And so I majored in accounting almost to my senior year, and I had been taking French classes all along, and I really liked French. I really thought modern languages were interesting. So I came home in the middle of my junior year at Christmas and told my parents I was going to be a French major, which was met with a little bit of silence and, well, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to be a teacher? You know, accounting was really the stable, if you will, major, the major that sort of guaranteed a job, and French was, you know, I think they were just sort of wondering, where did that come from? So I said, well, if you let me go back and I'll go to summer school, and I promise I'll get out on time and I'll have a job. Right. So that was my deal, essentially, with my dad. And so I went back to Florida State. I went to summer school that summer, and I managed to graduate on time. And my degrees are actually in French with a concentration in finance. So right. I had taken enough business classes to get what the school called a concentration. So it was a little more than minoring, but it wasn't quite a major. So it just worked out in my favor that I got a degree that I wanted, and some practical classes and skill with it as well.
Right. Let's go back to high school as well as also, you know, continuing into college though. Tell me about, you know, your study habits and who kind of, you know, helped you to, you know, get organized. Obviously, basketball helps with that, you know, the discipline and so forth and so on. But talk about that.
I think education was just talked about a lot in my house as a child. My parents both have some college, but my grandparents don't. And I heard from the time I could remember that I would go to college. I didn't always know how it was going to be paid for or how it would happen. But I remember my grandmother's always saying, no one can take your education from you. My parents checked our homework. I just remember as a kid, my parents would say, you know, what'd you do today? Let's look at your homework. My dad at one point worked evenings and even nights, and he would call home at dinner time, and his question to us would be, what did you learn today? Wow. And so over the phone, you know, my sister and I would say, oh, today we did our two times tables or that kind of thing. So there was just a lot of interest from my parents in my education. And I think that just made a world of difference for me.
Right. I always ask this question also. You know, education a lot of times is about memorization and just trying to absorb information so that you can give it back, you know, when the test comes, right? Tell me about that. Tell me about, you know, how did you study and how did you, you know, combine, you know, that drive and that attention that you got from your parents to do well in testing. Talk about that.
That's a good question. I think I learned how to study early. And I think I learned that from my parents, whether it was just making flashcards when we're in like second or third grade, or they would quiz us on spelling words. And I learned study strategies from them. And I'm sure from school as well. But I really attribute doing well in school to the interest and genuine concern from my parents of what I was learning. And so when I got to high school, you know, studying becomes a little bit more necessary than it certainly does in middle school. And I just went into high school with kind of a toolkit, if you will, of ways to study. And my parents, I think sometimes parents can back off a little in high school, but they still stayed equally as on top of what I was doing. So they weren't necessarily helping me with homework, but they certainly would say, what did you do in trigonometry this week? Or, you know, do you have a test coming up? And when are you going to study? And how are you going to study?
Wow.
Even with my dad always working kind of an off shift, they just were on top of it in that way. Probably more so than my dancing or sports or, you know, youth group activities. School just was the most important thing. And I think at the time, too, I wanted to see something else other than Bridgeport. I loved my hometown, but I knew there was something else for me to experience. And the way to get there was college. And I knew I needed money for college. I knew my parents didn't have... I didn't have a college fund. I didn't have, you know, parents that were independently wealthy. So I knew to see something other than Bridgeport, I had a couple of things to do that weren't that hard, which were to study so I could get into a college, so I could get scholarships to go. And that was kind of what I had in my head most through high school. And it was just a lot of family support, church members. I went to St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Bridgeport. I grew up there. My parents were married there. So there were a lot of hands in the making of Darcy to be the person I am today and to really get me to college. It was a huge achievement, I think, from my father's perspective, for me to graduate from college. My paternal grandparents were sharecroppers from Georgia. My grandfather had a fourth grade education, and he passed away when I was about a year old. But, you know, they could have never imagined going to college. And a story I'll share is I was at Florida State and I called my grandmother and I was saying how I'd missed the shuttle across campus. And, you know, it's very hot. It's hot in Tallahassee. It's 100 degrees at noon. You know, it's hot. And I'm complaining about how hot it was. And she said to me, when I was 18, there was no Florida State for me. She said, I picked cotton from sunup to sundown. So if you had to walk, you know, a half a mile or whatever it was across the campus, go ahead and walk, because there was no, I didn't have this chance. And it was such an eye-opening, like, quit your complaining comment to me. Like, how, almost how dare I complain that I'm at a great university with sunny weather, going to class to learn, when my grandmother didn't have that opportunity. And she really put it in perspective for me, the space I was living in, you know, just maybe 50 years later, you know, from when she was 18.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned walking, right? You know, because today, you know, we live in a society where everybody has a car and we live in suburbs. And, you know, obviously we also have a lot of folks that live in the city still, right? You know, but I get this thing from a lot of young people where it's like, you know, well, I can't get to work because, you know, my car broke down or whatever, you know, and I always say, well, look, you know, what about walking? Right? When I first came here from Brooklyn, New York, to try to find a different life for myself, I walked everywhere and also stayed in shape. But, you know, I got pictures of, wow, did I look like that? And a lot had to do with me walking. You know, I remember I used to walk across from, you know, from the hill all the way over to Dixwell area to go see my girlfriend, you know, and I didn't take the bus, you know, I walked there, you know, and you know, and that's so important, you know what I mean, to know that, hey, look, you know, if I'm going to, if I got to go to work, right, you know, then I'm going to, if it takes 2 hours for me to walk to get there, I'm going to get there,
right,
you know, so that's so important. So Florida State, right, you know, Tallahassee, not Bridgeport.
Nope.
Right. What were some of the lessons that you learned there in terms of just culturally?
I used to say that moving to Tallahassee was like moving to another country. So growing up in Bridgeport, it was a diverse working class community with a high poverty level. Bridgeport's not a wealthy city by any means, but we all got along well together. So black, white, Hispanic, Bridgeport has a large immigrant population. And when I got to Tallahassee, things were very black and white. I was very much shocked to see that even, you know, there's an HBCU in Tallahassee, so Florida A&M is there.
Yes.
It is literally on one side of the train tracks and Florida State is on the other.
Wow.
And I was surprised how little intermingling between the schools there were. Now, in Florida, in Tallahassee, Florida State is a big football school, so that's what brings money to the town. Tallahassee is a very small town. It is about 45 minutes from South Georgia. The nearest major city is Jacksonville, about 2.5 hours, Atlanta, 4 hours, Orlando, 4 hours. So you're really in the middle of farmland, which I knew, but I didn't know what it was. I knew because I'd visited, but I didn't know what it was going to be like to be dropped off there. And this is your home now for 4 years. And there's not really a city bus to catch anywhere. And people don't understand me because I have the northern accent, and or the lingo that you use is different from what people say in the South. But despite the kind of racial separations that I found, people were friendlier, much friendlier than here. I met people of color who really wanted an education in a way that I didn't always see in Bridgeport. I had a roommate my sophomore year who was from Mexico. Well, her parents were from Mexico. She was born here, and she had only ever done migrant farm work. Now, I worked at the Trumbull Mall in high school. I worked at a candy store, so that wasn't that hard. You know, you sell some candy after school. I was making $3.75 an hour. And she talked about working in fields and traveling from state to state with her family and how important an education was to her. I met a lot of young Black men who were in college, maybe first generation going to college, who really wanted an education in a way that I didn't always see in Bridgeport. And I'm not suggesting that there weren't guys I went to high school with that went on to college, and many who did and are successful today. But I saw a drive among young people there that I wasn't always exposed to, to here.
That's great. This is Juan Castillo, and interesting conversation here with Darcy Cobb Lomax. She's a Bridgeport resident who, you know, went to Florida State, right?
Yes.
You know, she's executive director of Project Access of New Haven here. It's an organization that helps patients who are uninsured to find, you know, specialists. You know, these are all donated care, you know, specialists. You know, to take care of the health needs. Wonderful organization, and we're going to talk about that after this break. So keep it right here. This is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC.